During the pandemic, it is so easy to focus on the things that are not working, you know. We could focus on the negative things, focus on what someone is not doing, compare, you know, ourselves with someone who has more, get mad because someone else has an easier time. It is easy to fall into during this time, self-blame, personal weaknesses, get upset at what you are not doing and what you can do better. We could get upset at that. But in Apostle Paul, you know, he spent 2 years in prison in Caesarea. Now he's in prison in Rome, in Rome, the most secular city in the world. And he was chained 24 hours a day to a different guard every day. And he says there are people who hate him, you know, so much that they want him dead. And the people who hate him was not the Roman politicians, but religious people that want him to be dead. And if he had a crystal ball, you know, as he's writing the book of Philippians, he would really get depressed, because Paul, you know, the crystal ball will show the future. He would get released from prison, but then a few years later, he would be in prison again. He would be in prison again. And when you look at Philippians chapter 1, this chapter should be filled with a lot of complaints. You know, how uncomfortable it is in prison, how mean and unjust the guards are. Should complain about the food, the people, the church, and how they are not doing much to help him. You know, he should, at Philippians 1, he should be expressing how depressed and hopeless is his situation. Why, you know, like, why is this happening to me? Why is God allowing this to happen? And what has happened to me has hindered the gospel, not, you know, progressed the gospel. But again, Philippians chapter 1, and in the book of Philippians, instead, he, Apostle Paul writes, "I thank my God every time I remember you." He says, "I always pray with joy." The good work that God began, God's going to complete it. This is what he says. And he writes how he is filled with so much love that the chain that's around him can't stop him. People, he's saying the people are knowing the Lord, and the gospel is being spread. And, you know, he says, "I don't care about those who are criticizing me or trying to hurt me." He says, "I will continue to rejoice. I will continue to rejoice." And in the book of Philippians, he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You know, Catalyst, let's proclaim that I will continue to rejoice. Say that out loud. I will continue to rejoice. So Apostle Paul found joy in the midst of trials. That was last Sunday's sermon. But also he found joy in worship, because he says, "I thank my God. I always pray with joy." And in the book of Philippians, it says, "To the glory and praise of God." And he says the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motive or true, Christ is preached. This is worship, that Christ is preached. And because of this, he says, "I rejoice." Another word, he's saying, "I worship." And today, joy and worship goes together. Okay? Joy and worship goes together. Even though, you know, at Paul's time, the gospel work was not finished, even though he was in prison, chained to guards, even though the church had issues, there were conflict, there were wrong motive, people with wrong motive. He saw sin in the city. He saw sin in the church. He saw sin in the people around him. And he was in prison, but Paul in prison found joy in worship. You know, last year I started watching soccer. You know, other in the world they call it football. But in America, if I say football, I had to say soccer. Okay. And I started watching European soccer and saw and what I realized about the game of soccer, the European and South American soccer fans, they're crazy. Okay. They're really crazy. They are what I call die hard, super, super duper fans. They're die hard. And when I saw that, and that's the reason I got into watching soccer, especially European soccer. And it's because to me, they know how to worship when it comes to soccer. Right? They know how to worship when it comes to soccer. Their team can be the last place in the league. Their team has a heartbreaking loss, but they would, watch every game. They pay a lot of money to see their team in person. They don't care how silly they look with their team jersey and many different colors. They look crazy as they're cheering. You know what? In soccer, they even have songs for their players that they sing. They have songs that they sing out together, the whole stadium, for the team members in soccer. And they know how to stay faithful to their team. Why? Okay, even though there might be a heartbreaking loss, they know how to find joy in soccer. They know how to find joy in their team. In worship, when you look at the object of our worship, his name is Jesus Christ. Worship is not work. Doesn't is not work, but worship is joy. Right? If church, can you really proclaim that worship is joy? Say that. Worship is joy. I grew up in a church where if you were having too much fun during worship service, they said something was wrong. Okay? That's not worship. Right? And so, but Christian virtue has changed over time. It has gone from love, something very joyful, to suffering. In my childhood church, the highest virtue, what they always talked about and preached in my childhood church was unselfishness, sacrifice, denial, and suffering. That's what they talked about all the time. And Christian life is not just gritting our teeth and just bearing it. It is about, it's not, it's not about being miserable, but being joyful. That's why Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians says, be joyful always. Okay? You're not going to find in the Bible that says, be miserable always, be complaining always. You're not going to find it in the Bible, right? Be critical always. But in the Bible, you will find it says, be joyful always, right? And we ought to understand as a Christian, if you were a European soccer fan and you knew that your team's going to win the championship at the end of the season, you're going to be happy. Well, the Bible says that we are going to win. Right? We're going to win. It's not just barely finishing the race. The Bible says we're going to run, and we got to run like this. Run as though we're going to get the prize. Okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Church, say, speak it this out, Catalyst brothers and sister, I'm going to run as though I'm going to get the prize. I'm going to run to win. When worship becomes work, fear comes into our heart. Fear can become the primary emotion when we approach God. We come to worship because we're scared of punishment. Believe God, when there's fear, we believe God is unreasonable, maybe demanding, he's difficult. God is harsh. When worship becomes work, the focus is on the doctrine of sin instead of the doctrine of salvation. The main focus is you are a sinner and forget what Christ has done for us on the cross. We forget there are other truth laid on top of the doctrine of sin. In Christ, right, this is what makes us joyful when we worship. In Christ, you are a sinner, but there's other truth laid on top of that. In Christ, you are forgiven. In Christ, there is no more condemnation. In Christ, okay, should make us joyful. This is the truth, and I want to speak this into your heart. In Christ, you are more than a conqueror. Let that truth touch your soul. In Christ, you are more than a conqueror. That's why we're able to be joyful. You know, the devil comes to you, you are a loser. You will always fail. You know, you're too weak. You can't do it. Reject it. In Christ, I am more than a conqueror. You know, when worship becomes work instead of joy, the focus is not on Jesus, then the focus is on the demonic. Then you see evil everywhere. You see evil in the school, in the workplace, in the government, in the media. When worship becomes work, you see evil in the church, in your home, and even in your heart. When worship becomes work instead of joy, becoming a joy, we forget the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. We forget that we have the truth. We forget we have the full armor of God. We forget that greater is He than the one who is in the world. When worship becomes work and instead of joy, it is about inconvenience, you know, in worship. You know, when it becomes work, you know, oh man, I have to use my day off for worship. You know, I don't have the full day for myself. You know, some of you know how to worship golf, you know, playing golf. And that's good, you know, meaning when you know how to worship golf, it means that you know how to enjoy golf. You know how to enjoy it, all right? And so, you know, if you know how to enjoy it, you're able to go through the difficulty to play golf, even though you have to come 30 minutes before your tee time, right? Even though the group before you might be slow, even if you had to spend a fortune on the latest golf club, you have to spend money on coach to get better. To enjoy golf, you have to persevere. If you enjoy golf, you know how to persevere in a biblical way. You have to persevere through all the bad swing to experience that one perfect swing. You know how to persevere in a biblical way when you know how to enjoy golf. You know, some of you, you know how to worship K-drama. I'm just saying. You know how to enjoy K-drama. You know, meaning you know how to worship K-drama. You know how to enjoy K-drama. I don't know why, because despite, you know, it gets you upset watching K-drama, right? Despite how it plays with your emotion, you know, if you watch K-drama, it plays with your emotion. No matter how frustrating the plot, with all the twists and turns, you're able to worship when you watch K-drama. You know why? You know how to persevere through 18 episodes, right? Because you enjoy it. You enjoy it. Worship is not work. It's a celebration. And this is what we teach at Catalyst. Worship is a celebration. Another word, worship is joy. Okay? Worship is joy. You know, Apostle Paul didn't wait till he got out of prison to worship. He didn't wait for people to change. He didn't wait for the circumstance to change. Paul says, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to worship. And he says, I will continue to rejoice. I will continue to worship. I will continue to worship. And this is a spiritual thing. And I want you to speak it out. There's going to be a breakthrough as you speak this out into the spiritual realm. Say, I will continue to worship. Speak that out. I will continue to worship. You know, when you enjoy something, you are able to persevere, okay? Not in the worldly way, but in the biblical way. Some of you enjoy gardening. You know, I saw more and more people starting to do gardening. You know, I don't enjoy it, so I don't do it. But, you know, and what I realized to garden, you have to know how to persevere in a biblical way. And if you enjoy gardening, you know how to persevere. You know, why? Because if you're gardening, you have to go through bad weathers. It's given. There's going to be bad weathers. You're going to have to go through the changing seasons. Okay? And if you enjoy gardening, you have to work hard, turning the soil, raking up the leaves, making sure the soil is healthy. And you also know how to fight. Right? You know how to fight against the weeds, against the pests that come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Why are you able to do those things when you garden? Because you enjoy it. You enjoy it. Now, as a Christian, this is a requirement when it comes to worship. The requirement is Christians enjoy worship. If you call yourself a Christian, we enjoy worship. And because we enjoy worship, we are able to persevere in worship. Not because it is work, but because we enjoy it. We enjoy it. We persevere now when we worship. We could persevere biblically because when we enjoy worship through this pandemic, we could persevere through this pandemic. We could persevere through different storm and difficult circumstances and demonic attack that comes, like those pests in the garden, to steal, kill, and destroy. So remember, church, to enjoy worship. Right? It's not out of duty, not because of guilt, but because of joy. If joy, you and I can worship even if you don't feel good. You can worship when things are not working out, even though you feel weak, tired, disappointed, depressed, and hopeless. Christians, my brothers and sisters, we can worship. Christians throughout history was able to worship in the midst of most severe persecution. We can do this. We can worship with joy. You know, David in the book of Psalm, David worshiped when he didn't know what to do next. Okay. David worshiped when there were people who hated him. David worshiped when he was in the desert. When he lost everything, he worshiped. Even when he committed sin, David worshiped. If you could find that joy in worship, some of you feel like, you know, because of my sin, you know, I can't worship. No, because of your sin, you have to worship. You have to worship. That's when you're going to feel the presence of the Lord. You're going to encounter his forgiveness and grace and mercy. You know, last 7 months have been very difficult for all of us. You know, during the pandemic, it's easier to choose depression, anger, insecurity, hopelessness, shame, condemnation, bondage. But remember, worship is joy. There's joy in worship. Psalm 100, this is what it says, shout for joy to the Lord. In the midst of the pandemic, shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth, the whole church, every one of you, from little children to the elderly at Catalyst. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. We could make this choice. We could do this because joy is a choice that we make. Let's worship the Lord by turning everything that caused you to complain into joy. Now, how are we going to do that? This is something that we need to remember. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I didn't realize this for many years, especially because I was kind of legalistic in the beginning of my Christian life. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. To me, when I read that verse, I had this Old Testament picture of sacrifice. The animal was tied up, or could not move or escape. And if you were that animal, you would do everything to get out off that altar, get out of that worship, because if you stay on that altar, you're going to die. That to me, that was the picture of worship. It's a sacrifice. You have to die, right? That's worship. And we sometimes see this as worship. I have no choice. It's just expected of me. Our children, might think my parents are making me go to church to worship. That's why I worship, because my parents is making me. I'm that animal on the altar, And so worship becomes a lot of work. So I will worship, but what some Christians say, I will worship, but I will worship grudgingly. I'm gonna worship grudgingly, like that sacrifice. But we forget what this verse really says. And what it says is, you're able to worship in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy, in view of God's grace, God's kindness, God's goodness, God's love. In view of God's mercy, we are able to surrender because we encounter the mercy of God. In order, this is so important. I think this is the problem. Maybe some believers, we think worship is a duty work, but the Bible says in order to have true and pure worship, you have to encounter the mercy of God. You have to encounter the mercy of God. And this is what we need as a church. You're tired, you feel empty. Some of you feel unloved, you feel weak. How are you going to joyfully worship? How are you going to do that? Romans 12:1 says, you have to encounter the mercy of God. And so, when I look at Apostle Paul, he encountered the mercy of God. And this was a powerful mercy that Apostle Paul encountered. It was a mercy that was able to break through the the prison wall, through the prison door. It was a mercy that broke through the chain. It was a mercy that broke through the depression, the hopelessness, the pain. And this, we need to encounter that mercy of God in order to joyfully be able to worship. That's it. Hubert, if you could. We're going to go into ministry. Again, during this time, it's so easy to see all your failures. It's so easy to compare yourself. It's easy to look at what you don't have, what other people have. It's easier to see what the devil is doing. But God didn't make it so difficult for you. All he asked you to do is see his mercy. See his mercy for you. The mercy of God. We see the bondage. We see what the devil is doing. And your Heavenly Father don't want to just come to you with, 10 things that you need to do. Check this off. Do more work. How are you going to have that joy? I'm not going to have that joy. Receive his mercy. And I pray, Lord, it will be that your mercy that was able to break through the prison door. That's able to break through any hard heart. That's able to soften your heart, God. That's able to break through the chain. People here that's going through a lot of pain and hurt. He doesn't want to just give you an instruction, but he wants to just touch the deepest part of you with his grace and kindness and goodness. Receive his mercy. And via God's mercy, we're able to worship a true and pure worship.